It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com. And it is Tuesday. This is the day eight, I think, Steve, from when Mayor Hancock shut down all of the restaurants here in Colorado. I think that's it. Or maybe it was Polis. I can't remember. But we're on day eight. And the sun's going to come up today. And we are marching through this this pandemic. And we're going to come out on the other side. We are Americans. And we need to be acting like it, Steve. There you go.
Absolutely. I can't confirm the actual day, because between watching the governor of California, the governor of Colorado, and the mayor of Denver, which one's copying the other? I don't know. I've given up trying to keep track of them.
Well, we're on day eight of our restaurants. It must be, I'd written it on my calendar. I think it's when Polis actually shut down all of the hospitality industry here in Colorado. So it's day eight, and so that means we're one day closer to getting through this. So first of all, we're talking about some headlines of hope and some positive messages. Then we'll, in the second half of this particular half hour, we'll talk with Colorado Representative Kim Ransom about Colorado's finances. She's on the Joint Budget Committee, and also the Sunshine Laws. And then in segments three and four, I'll be chatting with very valued sponsors, and that is Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with REMAX Alliance, and Lauren Levy, who is a mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial. Whenever there is unrest, there is always opportunity, so I'm going to be excited to talk with them. And then, of course, at the bottom of the hour, we'll be talking with Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, so we got a great show planned for you today. First thing on our headlines of hope and positive messages, we've had Dee Dee Chisholm on the show, as well as Abby Sinnott with Bella Health and Wellness, and they could use some supplies, and they said it's difficult right now to be getting, the gowns that they need as healthcare providers. And so Dee Dee has come up with a great idea. She said that she would like to ask for extra large cotton dress shirts. And what they're going to do is they're going to have their staff put them on backwards when they see each patient, and then they'll be able to take those off and wash them and disinfect them and use them again. I think it's very creative. So if you want to help out on that, they need about 100 shirts. Email me at kim@kimmunson.com if you have any of those, and we will go to work and figure out how to get those over to Dee Dee and Abby at Bella Health and Wellness. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson. That's MONSON. .com. When we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. My friends, we are getting a taste of what socialism is like. Waiting in line to get into the store, going into the store, not seeing anything on the shelves. We have taken all of these things for granted. And these things have come to us because of innovation and creativity and industriousness and hard work, which are the tenets of capitalism. And we are seeing what socialism does. This would be also the effects of the Green New Deal. And we've seen down at the State House, even though they're in temporary adjournment, when we come back, I think people are going to be really looking at what's going on down there instead of politics is not into me, because, you know, they have proposed things like biodiesel, which would make it more difficult for the trucking industry to get your goods to the store. Maybe we might want to take a gut check on that one. Or how about renewable natural gas? I think everybody, while they are quote unquote sheltering in place, also known as martial law, while they're sheltering in place, Everybody's pretty jazzed that they can turn on the lights, that they have heat, they have electricity so they can run their computers, charge their phones, and you can thank the oil and gas and the coal industry for that. If we were on wind and solar, it would be intermittent. And again, I think that we're going to be looking at a bunch of this legislation with a new light, Steve.
Well, every time this topic comes up, we have to kind of put a little disclaimer out there saying that any of these new emerging, emphasis on that word, technologies, you know, we'll take a good look at them. But to say we're going to cut over with some ironclad date when we can't fill the gap. There's a huge gap there in terms of the amount of power needed to make this country run. And you get these broad brush assumptions that we can just...
By 2030, that we're going to be on all renewables.
Yes.
And if it's not possible, then don't say it.
So bring on the new technologies when they're mature and they're functional, but don't be setting up these ridiculous mandates that, like you said, it'll be touch and go.
It will be touch and go. And so I think that one of the great things about all this is people are paying attention. You know, another thing, be industrious while you are sheltering in place, if you will. I'm hoping that I'm going to get the basement clean, get my garage cleaned. I want to read some books. I have a whole bunch of work to do. And so I think that I'm going to try to get a lot of stuff done, Steve.
I'll believe that when I see a dumpster sitting in your driveway.
Well, you know, I get sidetracked on other work. So, hey, our inspiration for today, we are at war. We're in an ideological battle right now. And so I think our quote, George Patton Jr., he was a general in the United States Army who commanded the U.S. 7th Army in the Mediterranean Theater in World War II and the U.S. 3rd Army in France and Germany after the Allied invasion of Normandy in June 1944. He was born in 1885 and he died in 1945 from injuries from a Jeep accident. His inspiration, wisdom is moral courage is the most valuable and usually the most absent characteristic in men. Moral courage is the most valuable and usually the most absent characteristic in men.
Wow.
Aha.
There's more truth there than you can shake a stick at. And I vividly remember my earliest days in the military and seeing the way other troops, Air Force, what were we, enlisted guys behaved and the way they conducted themselves. Some were exemplary and others were so morally bankrupt it made your head spin. So right on, General.
Well, and, that is what we need to strive as both men and women, to have moral courage. Okay, Steve, are you ready for the funnies?
Okay.
Okay.
He said,
there will be a baby boom in 9 months. And in 2033, we'll witness the rise of the quarantine-agers. Okay, some good news. First of all, when Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, announced that they had tested positive for the coronavirus, also known as the Wuhan virus or the China virus. Anyway, I said, I hope that they will recover. We will check in with them in 30 days. Well, it's been 2 weeks. And Tom Hanks said he and his wife, Rita Wilson, are on the mend. And 2 weeks after our first symptoms, we feel better. So there's some good news there. They did not die from the coronavirus. They're feeling better. And I thought that I wanted to wish them well, Steve.
Yeah, well, I had that thought when it was first announced, and it's like, okay, when they're back in 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it is, people need to see that. And because it's too easy to trot out and say, oh my gosh, somebody famous got the virus. Well, somebody famous survived it too.
Exactly. And that is the point that we want to make. Another thing that I think is a real positive, is that after this whole thing, we're all going to be able to know how to spell quarantine. Okay. Onward and upward. Helen Raleigh, she writes for the Federalist. She writes for, Fox News on National, a whole bunch of different places. But the Federalist is where you can find a lot of her pieces. And we are going to be doing a salon series, June 22nd, Three Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism, with Helen and Dr. Paul Prentice. I'd recommend that you go to my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, to get your tickets, because she's just really awesome. And she said, This piece in the Federalist is why your parents aren't idiots for not freaking out about the coronavirus like you. She said, I used to have very little patience in teaching my parents to operate new technology. In a sense, their struggle made it easy for me to feel I was smarter and better than they were. And she said, after experiencing an unfortunate life-changing event, however, I realized I was neither smarter nor better. My parents foresaw what might happen and warned me about it, and I dismissed their concerns. I thought that because I had access to information they didn't have, I was better. I thought they were too old-fashioned and their suggestions were too outdated. Turns out I was a fool. Had I listened to them, my life would have turned out very differently. She said, now I see my parents in a different light. Their gray hair is an accumulation and reflection of life experience and years of wisdom. Their wrinkles are a sign of strength because they have not only survived, but also triumphed over many of life's ups and downs, as well as unimaginable sufferings and losses. I would highly recommend that you go to the Federalist and read this complete piece. She quotes Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, which is, you know, a time for everything, for every season. And then also she quotes Philippians 4:6-7. Steve, this is one of my favorites. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So go to the Federalist and take a look at Helen Raleigh's amazing, reflective, very thought-provoking, positive piece. It's just beautiful, Steve.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, as you read the, what was the second one out of Philippians?
Yeah, Philippians 4:6-7.
It's tough to think about it now, but surely, and don't call me Shirley, there will be some good things that will come out of
this. There really will be.
And I think we're just starting to see the smallest tip of the iceberg right now. But hold on.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some really good things. Keeping this all in perspective, I want to get through this quickly because I want to talk to Representative Kim Ransom here shortly. But in the United States, we have a population of 327.2 million. And as of March 23rd, the total Wuhan virus cases was 33,404 with total deaths of 400. And each of those people is treasured and valued. Here in Colorado, we have a population of almost 5.7 million. Total cases is 720, and total deaths are 7. Now, putting this in perspective with flu, the CDC influenza stats, and this was as of yesterday as well, estimates that there were anywhere from 38 to 54 million flu illnesses, 17 to 25 million flu medical visits, 390,000 to 710,000 flu hospitalizations, and 23,000 to 59,000 flu deaths. So we just want to keep that in perspective. We're going to keep a running total on that. And one other thing I want to make a note of on good news is this is from KDVR. There is a company right here in Inglewood. It's called Attu Bioscience, announced yesterday that the company may begin the distribution of the first of 100,000 COVID-19 rapid tests throughout the country this week. The test delivers results between 2 and 10 minutes at the point of care and are for professional use only. Isn't that exciting, Steve? You know, we forget that there's great creativity and innovation. People are working around the clock to come up with solutions here. I wish these politicians would quit politicizing this and get down to business to take care of the American people.
You just stole my thunder. When I read that, I'm thinking when that permission came or that document came, declaration, it was get everybody in here. We're going 24/7 in production. And again, we're rising to the occasion.
And that's for sure. So, hey, before we go to break, though, we need to buckle down and help all of our restaurants, bars, and taverns here in Colorado. With Governor Polis and Mayor Hancock's edict to close dine-in options for individuals, restaurant workers are facing some lean times. So restaurants are getting creative. Hooters Restaurants is my valued partner and really support my shows. So let them know how much you appreciate their sponsorship by stopping by and picking up dinner to take home, or you can have Hooters wings delivered to your front door via one of the delivery services. They have these great original wings. They have these new delectable smoked wings. And Hooters Restaurants is adding curbside pickup for to-go orders. You can order your food to go at order.hooters.com. It's a really popular option. And in these interesting times, take the Queen's advice. Stay calm, carry on, and get some Hooters wings. We're going to be right back with Kim Ransom, and we'll be talking about Colorado's finances and sunshine laws. This is Kim Munson. Stay tuned.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at KimMunson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's KimMunson, MONSON.com. On the line with me is my state representative, Representative Kim Ransom. She is a member of the Joint Budget Committee, and she is really a hard worker. And Kim Ransom, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. I hope you're well. You sound well.
So far, so good. How are you doing? Because one of the representatives has tested positive for the coronavirus.
That is true. And we were all in the chamber together that last week before we adjourned. However, she sits on the other side of the whole, and it's a large room. You've been mm-hmm, there. You mm-hmm, know what it's like. Mm-hmm. So I didn't meet the criteria to be within 6 feet for an extended period of time.
Okay.
You know, I did, so I was not technically exposed. But the interesting thing that I just read, this morning, was that apparently she was misdiagnosed. And there is a different strain of coronavirus that was not COVID-19. And apparently the press release I just read this morning said that her doctor misread the results.
Huh.
However, you may not have heard then that Senator Smallwood tested positive and just got those results back on the 22nd.
I did not realize that. Now, my understanding, Kim, is that the coronavirus is in the common cold family. So, you know, I don't think we should be whacking out about another strain or anything. Do you?
No, not at all. Not at all. Because I think it just shows that with all flus and colds, you know, anything viral, we're going to have different strains. They mutate. We build up immunities. So you may have an immunity to a similar strain that helps protect you from, you know, if you are exposed at a later time, which is why if this certain strain, the COVID-19 that everybody's so concerned about right now, many of us have probably been around somebody and met the criteria, whether it's in the grocery store, you know, or just moving around places that we can't avoid, buying gas, for example, for our cars, that we may have a certain type of immunity to a similar strain. That being said, let me caution, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a medical professional, but I'm just saying that if given the stats I just heard you describe from the CDC, we don't all have it. So I think that there has to be some type of natural immunity that some people have.
Right. And I think that, you know, as this continues on, I think more and more people will get that immunity. I think I'm not an expert on it either, but that's at least mm-hmm. some of my understanding from some of the things I've watched. Now, things are changing day by day from Colorado's finance picture. What can you update us on right now, Representative Ransom?
Things are changing. As more and more businesses close down, more and more people are losing their jobs, filing for unemployment, and it becoming into a deeper desperate situation as far as paying their rent, paying their mortgage. You know economics as well or better than I do, Kim. Economics 101, this is not good for people that are trying to support their families and take care of themselves and their homes. And we don't want to turn people into government dependents. People want to take care of their families, pay their rent, feed their families.
Absolutely.
People don't want to turn to the government and say, please take care of us. The government should not be in that position, yet it looks more and more like certain people are pushing some folks into that position that don't want to be there. So, yes, Colorado finances, the Colorado forecast – I'm sure, is in a more dismal position than it was a week ago when I received the forecast back that's March 16th. So I'm sure it has changed drastically since then. I don't have the numbers, though. People, I'm sure there are people, for example, in the unemployment claims office that have certain numbers, but they've not been put together in a format for me yet. And the reason for that is that everything has been delayed. Because of the diagnosis in the House and then now in the Senate, we cannot come back on the 30th as originally set in that first resolution. So what I was told over the weekend is that we will come back on the 30th for a very, very brief session, probably less, you know, the majority leader was joking, I think, and he goes, yeah, we'll probably take 5 minutes. We're just going to delay that March 30th start time to another later date. So the Joint Budget Committee is not meeting. We have gotten some emails with some of the numbers with suggestions and some ways that we can start looking at trying to balance that budget. But we have no date right now for getting started or for actually having a finalized budget. The Budget Committee will not meet before April 6th. That's the earliest we'll meet, and it may not even be then. So in the meantime, we're just kind of on hold.
Okay. Kim Ransom, and you know what? I neglected to say thank you to the team, to Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and Steve, and to each of you listeners. You're all so treasured and valued, and I'm grateful for all of you. I'm grateful for our guests. But Patty had found this, Kim, and I thought this was really interesting. It was in the Denver Business Journal that last Thursday, Colorado offered incentives to two companies looking to add jobs into Denver. And as I've come to realize, when I hear the word economic development, basically it is bureaucrats that are appointed by a politician to make special deals with one company over another, to maybe give them tax incentives or a variety of things. And so even as the governor and the mayor have shut down the state in many ways, they were still, we had bureaucrats still out there picking winners and losers and offering money to outside businesses to come into Colorado while we're shutting down Colorado. And I think that shining a light on that is important. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Please continue to shine that light, Kim. What I have seen is in my years in the legislature is that there are multiple ways that these companies get incentivized / bribed to move here and to bring their companies here and hire people here. And I get it that these groups have good motives. They are trying to expand Colorado's economy. I get that. There's the governor has, well, for short, it's OEDIT, but the governor's Office of Economic
Development.
I'm sorry, I don't know. Economic development. So that is exactly what they do, is offer those types of incentives, tax breaks, things like that. And you hit the nail on the head. They are picking winners and losers, because if you choose one company over another, or you keep taxing the companies that are already here to support the new ones coming in that may actually end up being their competitors, what are we creating here? What is the government actually doing to the citizens, the business owners, the entrepreneurs, the folks that are trying to make a living and hire people? And, you know, businesses will do what's in their best interest. They will expand economically. They will hire people. Every business owner I've ever met wants to obey the law, obey the rules. They want to make sure that their employees are well prepared and well trained to do the job that they're expected to do. They don't need the government breathing down their back to tell them to do that. Business owners, they are incentivized to do the right thing by having a successful business, providing a successful service or product to consumers that pay them for that. It's called capitalism.
Well, and most definitely, I think that one of the most compassionate things that a person can give to another is the opportunity of a job. And so for so long, it seems that we've been demonizing the producers and the creators. When I say we, I'm talking, you know, really, I think the media and what we've seen in the education system as well. And so the lesson on this is we need to get rid of these economic development, quote unquote, offices, because the connecting the dots here, if company A says, hey, if my taxes are lower, I will come to Colorado and be productive. Well, how about we lower taxes across the spectrum so that people can compete in the free market instead of government in there picking winners and losers? Kim Ransom, your final thought?
Ditto. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't agree with what you just said more. I completely agree. And stay tuned. You know how to get in touch with me, Kim. Once we start getting some dates on when the Joint Budget Committee work will resume, when our meetings will resume, as you know, we cannot meet without allowing citizens to participate. And that might be remotely, but I think they're getting legal opinions on that. But everything we do has to be out in the open. We cannot have secret backdoor meetings, back office, back room meetings. They have to be open to the public. Those sunshine laws in Colorado are very important. And stay tuned as we get more and more information. And I think there are many people watching the current forecast, the current economics in Colorado. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, Representative Ransom, thank you so much. We'll stay in touch. Stay well. Wash your hands.
Yes.
Stay calm and carry on. So thanks so much.
Will do. Bye, Kim.
Bye. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. How are you doing this morning?
Kim, I am so excited. I have to tell you something.
What?
So you're talking about that A2 Bioscience earlier?
Yeah.
I own one share.
Why do you only own one share?
Well, I got it as a spinoff from another company I owned, and I own one share of that stock. Now, my cost basis, it looks like, is $115 a share.
Yeah.
And yesterday it was at 30 cents, and now it's back to $2.
Wow.
I mean, I might be retired by the end of the day.
You might get a cup of coffee on that one.
I mean, yeah, I've gone from having 30 cents, I'm almost up to $2 on that stock, $2 with my one share.
That's quite a ride, though. I mean, that's pretty darn exciting what they're doing. You know, creativity, innovation, these little companies. I mean, this is the thing that America's founded on, Jason McBride.
It is. And, you know, it is interesting to see how fast, like, the private companies are coming in, and then you really do get the whole country kicking in. I guess probably like back in World War II, you saw a lot of that, you know, with all the plane building. But I don't remember a time, Kim, when we've had like a difficulty like this where you saw so many private companies just, you know, pitching in and making changes in such a big way. I think it's kind of cool.
I think it is really cool. And I think that there's, you know, great opportunity. I mean, it's hard to know what's going to happen on the short term. But on the long term, I think we'll look back and we'll say, oh, my gosh, great American companies were on sale. I could have bought X at this price. Because once we get through this, and we will get through this one day, one step at a time, as we get through this, you know, there's going to be so much pent-up demand. I just think there's opportunity here, Jason.
Well, there certainly are a lot of cheap prices, and the futures are up this morning, Kim. We've got an 800-point rise in the futures on the Dow. Now, yesterday, that didn't help. We ended up taking a little bit of a dive at the end of the day, so we're kind of starting over again, looking, just give us that one up day. But right now, at least, the futures are positive. It'd be nice to see an update, and I agree with you. Some prices are getting very, very interesting here, and I agree with you. And, oh, in history, I think we probably will look back, and it'll be a blip on the chart. I don't think
maybe a big blip,
but a big blimp.
How's that?
Yeah, big blip, but Yeah, I don't see this as being something like, you know, we had in 08 where it takes 5, 6, 7 years for the markets to get back to their highs. But I could be wrong, so I shouldn't be making predictions. But, yeah, I think a lot of the cheap prices right now and good quality companies that have been beat up due to no fault of their own does make for some interesting things to look at.
So I would encourage people to have a conversation with you and your colleagues over at Presidential Wealth Management.
Well, I think that would be a good idea. And, of course, since I own one share of A2, I'm going to have to make recommendations that everybody that comes to see us buys lots.
Yeah, right.
Now,
right.
That was just a joke.
I know.
I don't want to end up in jail like Dan Dorfman. But, I think we do a good job of helping people plan. We could take a look at kind of where you're at, even like right now, and look forward from here, even if things are slow, and give you an idea what your overall plan might look like. And some people like to kind of look at the worst case scenario, plan for the worst, hope for the best. I mean, we can help you no matter what personality you are, so to speak.
Well, while people are at home, they're cleaning their houses, they're reading books, it'd be a great idea to give you guys a call over at Presidential Wealth Management as well.
That's right.
That phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And Jason, what is that website?
It's airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com.
Okay, great. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and have a great day, Jason.
Okay, thanks, Kim.
And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we will be talking with Karen Levine, who is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, and then we'll also be talking with Lauren Levy, who is a mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial. You probably all want to know what's going on out there in those particular arenas, so we'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And at the beginning of the hour, I mentioned that Dee Dee Chisholm and Abby Sinnott with Bella Health and Wellness are looking for extra large men's cotton dress shirts that they are going to use in their practice right now, because apparently hospital gowns are difficult to find right now. So if you are interested in helping them out, email me at kim@kimmunson.com. We're having to roll up our sleeves and be creative. And I think there's some real opportunity. And on the line with me is Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, and Lauren Levy. Karen, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
And Lauren, welcome.
Good morning.
I'm bummed that normally we're all in here in the studio together, but because of all the recommendations, we decided to do this via phone. So, Lauren, let's start with you. The markets are pretty nutso. What are you seeing regarding interest rates right now for mortgages?
It's kind of crazy. Nutso is a good word for it, Karen. It's almost day by day. Today will be interesting. If Congress passes the stimulus bill, we could see rates bounce again. They've been up. You and I have spoken how they spiked, and they've been up in the mid-4s again when people were hearing that they were in the low 3s. They've come down at certain lenders, but I'm also hearing, and Karen might be able to back me up, in the last couple of days, there's been 4 or 5 different lenders that I'm aware of that do loans that are for people that don't sell their loan to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. These are specialized loans called non-QM. A lot of these lenders have temporarily suspended operations because no one will buy their loans once they fund. I also heard from a friend of mine that they had a jumbo loan yesterday that was ready to close on a house the same day, and the lender canceled the loan at the day of closing on a jumbo loan because there was no buyer on the end of it. So Wall Street's appetite for this stuff and any risk at all has really gone away, and it's getting to the point where it's Fannie or Freddie that are pretty much backstopping the loans that are getting done. So it's a crazy time right now.
Karen, what's your comments on that?
I think Lauren's right on from the standpoint that we saw from Friday to Monday a lot of movement in the mortgage market. But I also find it interesting that we have reputable lenders out in the marketplace, and then we have not so reputable lenders. And a friend of yours and mine, Kim, was looking to refinance, and she saw me, showed me what they were offering to her, and it was really sad. They were taking a lot of advantage of this consumer and not in the right way. So I just encourage the listeners to make sure they seek out someone like Lauren and myself that are looking out for their best interests and not looking just to do another deal. And it is crazy out there, but I think there's great opportunity. And I think Lauren, you know, hit the nail on the head that right now these mortgage-backed securities are not doing well in the marketplace because their return and their risk are not equivalent to their, you know, to their values. So I think we'll just continue to see some movement there.
Okay, so Lauren, this kind of puts a knot in my stomach. Is this something I should be really worried about here? Do you think?
I think it's a little bit like what happened in 08 and 09 where things got tight. You know, what happens is people are have been lately in a risk-off mode. You hear about this stuff, and I'm sure Jason from Presidential has addressed some of this. But, you know, if you're an end buyer of a mortgage and someone is offering you a package of mortgages that pay, let's say, 3.5%, but you're worried about the economy and you're worried about people losing their jobs and not being able to pay on those loans, you're not going to want to buy them. And that's what's kind of happened. And so what happens is the Fed becomes the buyer of last resort, like they did in 08 and 09, and came in and backstopped the mortgage market, and things wound up being fine. And that's what they've started to do, which is why the Fannie and Freddie type loans are just fine still right now. It's the bigger loans and the loans that use like bank statements for qualifying, things like that, that are sold specifically to Wall Street investors and not to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And those are the investors that currently, like Karen was saying, don't really have an appetite for the level of risk for the return they're getting on the percentage rate right now. And so that stuff is going to freeze up, I think. It has, and it will continue to, until we see some stabilization in the stock market. We stop having these huge swings and things normalize a little bit. This is the type of stuff that once this virus is under control and things even begin to return normal, will come back around.
Okay, so people should go ahead and get pre-qualified, right, so that they're ready to move when things settle down a bit, Lauren?
Yes, I agree with that. You should always be ready to roll. This doesn't affect the majority of people, to be honest. It affects people that have loans, you know, that are looking to borrow over $510,000. In some cases, depending on your county, it doesn't affect you unless you're looking to borrow over $580,000. On a loan. So the majority of folks are going to be just, they're not going to notice anything except that their interest rates are kind of bouncing around in the market. So it's the people that have larger loans that may see some, you know, disconnection for a little bit of time.
So, and
depending
this,
on their lender.
So this is people that are trying to get a loan in with over like 510 or 580,000. So that's who you're saying that would affect. So,
yes,
and that's considered anything in that price or in that amount is considered a jumbo loan. So it's kind of the jumbo loans where you're seeing this this concern. Is that right?
Yes, and jumbo loans and loans that are what you would call outside of the norm, like where people don't have pay stubs or can't prove income. They have to go other directions, like using assets to qualify. those type of things.
Okay, okay. Karen, before we go to break, what's your thoughts on this? I know that there's got to be opportunity, and if people are pre-qualified, what are you seeing over in the housing market right now?
Well, first of all, I would somewhat caution people from the standpoint of I would not compare this to the recession of 2008. I think that is inappropriate. The cause of that recession had to do with our economy breaking down and not having jobs available, et cetera, et cetera. This is more of an event. It would be more similar to something we saw during 9/11. There's a lot of uncertainty, which I would agree with Lauren in that regard. But there's opportunity out there from the standpoint that I could have locked in a buyer at 3.5% yesterday morning, and that's an exceptional fixed rate mortgage. We are seeing still great activity in the real estate market. I just pulled a couple of stats to give you a feel for what happened in the last 24 hours. And this would have been yesterday's stats, so the 23rd. We had 155 new listings come on the market in the Front Range. We had 241 homes go under contract, and we had 195 closings. So we have good activity. Showings have backed off a little, and I'm sure part of that is a reflection of people, one, they're home, they're working from home, or maybe they're in the service industries where they are not employed at the moment. So you see a little bit of that natural retraction. But I think for a buyer, they're in a position that there's less competition in the marketplace for highly sought after homes. And we still have sellers that have a need and a desire to sell. I don't think we're going to see a plummeting effect on pricing because we still have a lot of demand for housing in our state and along the Front Range here.
You're right. The supply was really, really limited. Let's continue this conversation. We're going to go to break. On the line with me is Lauren Levy and Karen Levine. Lauren is a specialist in the mortgage industry. He works with a lot of different companies, and certainly reach out to him so that you can become pre-qualified. And Lauren, what's the best way for people to reach you?
The best way is to call our office at 303-880-8881.
That's 303-880-8881. And then Karen Levine also, both Lauren and Karen are valued sponsors. And you are an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. What's the best way for people to reach you?
Best way to reach me is 303-877-7516.
That's 303-877-7516. I've got some more questions for Lauren and Karen. Again, when we're in these tumultuous times, there can be great opportunity. And, you know, it's difficult to hit the exact bottom, the exact top, but if you can hit that sweet spot, you know, that in between 80%, or, you know, or in the 10%, I guess, you know, near the bottom or near the top when you're in this stock market, that's pretty good. And so let's go to break. And when we come back, some more questions for Karen Levine and Lauren Levy.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And hey, newsflash. The sun is coming up this morning. As I'm looking out over the mountains, I can see the sun is coming up. And so that's something to be grateful for, Karen Levine.
Yes, it is.
Lauren Levy, I was trying to make some sense before we went to break. And I think people, they want to, you know, sell at the very top of the market, you know, with their house or their investments, and they want to buy at the very bottom. And nobody is that good, you know, or they want to get the exact lowest interest rate. And that never really happens. But if you can get in within, you know, 10% on either side of that near the high if you're selling and on the low when you're buying or on interest rates, you got to consider that as pretty successful, right, Lauren?
I agree completely with you. It's really hard to know when we're at the bottom or and try to pick that point in anything. None of us really know which way the market's going to go. I wanted to say one thing back with what Karen said before, and I apologize. When I compared what was happening in the mortgage market now to 2008 and 2009 with the recession, it had nothing to do with economic activity. I was simply talking about the Federal Reserve action they're taking and stepping into these markets where they're coming in and being the buyer, what they call the buyer of last resort. They're doing it in the municipal bond market, the commercial bond market, and then the mortgage-backed securities market. I wasn't talking about home listings. I know there's a ton of activity, and people are buying and selling homes. It's definitely happening. Strictly just with the Federal Reserve coming in and trying to help the market and support it and sustain it in this particular area was what I was referring
to. Perfect. Thanks for that clarification, Karen.
Well, and I appreciate that as well. I found each night I receive a quick little quote from kind of, I would say, a mutual friend of ours, Elliot Eisenberg. He does a little economic quote, and this would put Lauren's comments into context as well. He said, his headline was, "Fantastic Fed." This morning, the Fed essentially said it would do whatever it takes to keep credit markets functioning after doing the same for funding markets last week. The Fed is committed to unlimited quantitative easing, which will help housing, the purchase of corporate bonds, lending to small and mid-sized businesses, and more. The Fed is being creative and profoundly aggressive, and in coordination with the Treasury Department, is moving at light speed. So I think that's where we're seeing, you know, all this somewhat uncertainty, but we've got them stepping in to ease some of this uncertainty.
Well, and Lauren, markets don't like uncertainty, do they?
No. No matter what, which way you lean politically or anything business-wise, they do not like uncertainty at all. And when there is uncertainty, the answer a lot of times is to just stop buying stuff and just keep
freeze. Your
money on the sidelines.
Yeah, just freeze.
And yeah, and when they do that, markets seize up. And that's the job of the Federal Reserve, and they're doing it. And so that's what we're seeing. And it's just, you know, the reason rates bounce around, and Karen was saying that she was able to lock someone at 3.5 or had the opportunity to, that's what I'm saying. There's lenders yesterday that I was working with, and I just looked at two different ones. One had a 3.5 rate and one had a 4% rate on the exact same loan. And it all depends on who they sell to at the end of the day. And that's why someone like me, I have a lot of different banks I can go to and search around and see what's out there and try to find the lowest rate. But she's right. I mean, that's the uncertainty, is banks just don't know where things are headed. And that's what's causing some of this.
Okay. And we'll come back to that in just a second. Karen, you and I had a conversation about, you know, people concerned about the economy, that in fact, you know, maybe, maybe they might be able to get a house, you know, at a lower price, and maybe they will. But the fact that interest rates, as Lauren mentioned, are 3.5 to 4, you know, I mean, I remember many years ago when mortgage rates were, you know, above 10%. So if you can lock something in here at a lower interest rate, you can actually see some price fluctuation, and you'll be okay, right?
Correct. And I think what we need to look at is, yes, a sector of our economy is not working, and for very good reason, because we're trying to slow down the spread of this virus that, you know, this is all unprecedented territory we're in. But a lot of our economy is working, and those are jobs that aren't going to go away. They will continue to have employment and have the ability to have home ownership. And, So I think there is potential opportunity out there for the home buyer that was looking in the lower end market and was competing with, you know, 5, 6, 10 offers. Maybe they're only going to be competing with a couple. So it gives them a more opportunity to secure a home and get it under contract. But with that said, I was showing property on Sunday, and we were heading to our last home of the day and got a call that the seller had canceled our showing because he had had over 50 showings in 5 days and 7 offers. So that particular sector of the housing market was quite robust over the weekend, and you know, we'll see if that continues. I suspect we'll see a little bit of easing off again, creating opportunity for some.
Okay, so Karen, on that, is there any way that you can work with people virtually on any of these houses? So instead of just, I mean, if people are sitting at home, how about, you know, let's reach out to Karen and take a look at some of these houses, and you could do that virtually.
Yeah, we can do that virtually. FaceTime is a great app, you know, tool for us to use. Sellers who have their homes on the market want people to come and see them. I showed 11 homes on Sunday, and we did not do them virtually. We went and saw them, but we're respectful with regards to if someone's in the home already. We waited until they left. You know, we used a lot of hand sanitizer and Clorox wipes and made sure we were being safe and wise. And we were, you know, a group of 3. So there's ways to do that, and we can certainly utilize FaceTime. The other thing is as practitioners, we have used video in marketing, but haven't used it prolifically because houses were flying off the market so quickly. Mm-hmm. We didn't need that resource.
Got it.
But I think I'm going to see in my practice, we're going to be videoing more like video home tours of property just to ease people's mind about, well, you know, I'm not really comfortable going out right now, but I want to see homes. And then they might see something that catches their interest and say, hey, now can we arrange a showing? So we've got a lot of tools out there to help navigate these kind of crazy waters.
Okay, and with that, then, Lauren, for people to be pre-qualified, walk us through that. What does that look like, and how long is that good for, so that if they find something and that opportunity is there, they're ready to act?
So the process is simple. It's, you know, it's all virtual, done on the phone primarily. It's a 10-minute phone call. We go through everything, and you know, I've been doing this long enough that I can tell from the conversation and based on what I'm being told, and then have people send me, you know, pay stubs and W-2s that we can pretty much figure out what they can afford to buy and what will fit in their payment and get them pre-qualified. And it's good until or in case anything were to change, you know, and so as long as job situation doesn't change and down payment situation doesn't change, access to funds, the pre-qual is good. So the last thing I would tell people is if once you're pre-qualified and if a little time goes by, then we just want to make sure you still have everything the same as it was when we first talked. But other than that, it's kind of an open-ended qualification.
Okay, and again, if people have some time on their hands because they're not driving back and forth, and that, you know, that's one of the positives. I must take my hat off to Governor Polis and Mayor Hancock, as they've been able to reduce the congestion on our roads. So while you're sitting at home, you can actually go ahead and get pre-qualified with Lauren Levy, and that number is 303-880-8881, 303-880-8881. I got it right, Lauren, that was right?
Yep, you got it.
Okay.
That's right.
And then Karen Levine can help you. You can look at some things virtually and prepare for that opportunity. That number is 303-877-7516, 303-877-7516. So, Lauren Levy, what's your final thought for our listeners today?
My final thought is just be aware of what's going on in the market. Don't panic and don't worry about it. There's ways to get things done, and I think in the short term, rates are going to settle in and come back down. It may just be a little bit of time, but there's still plenty of loan activity going on, and I wouldn't worry about it too much. Let me do the worrying, and you know, and just business as usual as best you can, and stay safe.
Perfect. Thanks, Lauren Levy. And Karen Levine, your final thought.
I just wanted to do a shout out to the National Association of Realtors and commend them for the work they're doing in Washington on behalf of private property rights and home ownership. And they have been at the table through all these discussions of how to make this current situation palatable and protecting our small business people and our entrepreneurs. And I was excited to get a letter from our CEO and president. It was a joint letter late last night. So we're working hard on behalf of home ownership and I would say self-employed industry, you know, the things that build America. And so that's exciting. And I think there's opportunity out there. If anybody has any questions about what I'm seeing in the marketplace, I just encourage them to give me a call.
At 303-877-7516. Karen Levine, Lauren Levy, thank you so much. You're both valued partners of the show. I greatly appreciate you. Have a great day.
You too, Kim.
Thank you.
Okay. Our quote for today is General George Patton. He says, if everybody is thinking alike, then somebody isn't thinking. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.